I'm Brian Moline, Illinois Public Media News. Few people in Springfield know Illinois politics better than Rich Miller. In 1993, after working for a few years for a company that collected legislative information for lobbyists, Miller started a political newsletter called Capital Facts. Yes, that's facts spelled F-A-X. As it grew, he expanded to include the website capitalfacts.com and now has well over 1,000 annual subscribers, plus many others who read Miller's free content online. I talked with Miller on Monday, shortly after the governor's office announced that it was restoring eligibility for thousands of families to the state's Child Care Assistance Program, or CCAP. Miller says this was a significant announcement.
This is a pretty major thing. The child care program, according to the governor's own numbers, is down at 90,000. That's half of what it was kids served last year, last fiscal year. So this will put maybe about 85,000 more kids back on the program.
Why do you think this announcement came out here today, just one day before the legislature coming back in session?
Well, you answered your own question. They were coming back tomorrow, and they were loaded for bear on this child care stuff. So the governor's office spent most of the weekend negotiating.
Now, do you think the governor's office was feeling some pressure from his own side of the aisle, the Republican caucus, on this?
I would assume so, yes. I mean, there are a lot of legislators who wanted to get this thing behind them. And also, our First Lady, this is a major priority for her organization, Diana Rauner's group, Homes and Prevention. So he was getting from all sides.
Now, the other big agreement today was announced with some labor and business groups on unemployment insurance. What do you see in this deal? What caught your eye on this announcement?
Well, the talks were deadlocked last week, and the people on both sides were pretty upset about the fact that they didn't seem to be going anywhere. So I don't know exactly yet what happened, but the governor's office may have been involved here. I think they're trying to get some wins on the board, finally trying to get some wins on the board. And that would be a good thing because they don't have very many wins since taking the oath of office in January.
Do you see anything else noteworthy coming out of the session this week?
Yeah. I assume that they're trying to negotiate something on this as well. There's legislation to help out release money to municipalities. Their motor fuel tax money has been held up. Their 911 call center money has been held up. That same bill would also pay lottery winners. This bill has significant support. A lot of Republicans want to vote for the bill. They've been told not to, but I think that one's going to break loose somehow as well.
And then really the next big thing on the calendar after this week's legislative session is that that meeting scheduled for November 18th between the governor and the legislative leaders. There's been certainly a lot of discussion about that meeting coming up here, Rich. What do you see coming out of that, if anything, or will more news come out before that meeting?
I think it seems to me that the governor's office wants to rack up some wins ahead of this meeting, so that they can show, hey, we're not as bad as the other side is portraying us. And indeed, Speaker Madigan wouldn't sign on to this child care deal, so maybe he's the problem. That's what's happening now. So it's serving a purpose whether or not anything comes out of it, because it may have helped break some things loose.
And as you kind of look at this impasse where both sides have been so dug in here for the last several months, I'm curious, Rich, what are some areas where you think each side should really be willing to give a little bit just to get something done here?
Well, for the governor's part, I really believe he needs to stop pushing things that are anathema to organized labor. He wants a property tax freeze, okay, but he would pay for that by allowing local units of government to pretty much ignore all labor laws as far as collective bargaining goes. That everything that is collectively bargained now, wages, benefits, break times, what have you, none of that would be allowed. That's not going to happen. This is Illinois. This is not Indiana, right? As much as some people might want it to be more like Indiana, it's not. We have a strongly Democratic, strongly pro-union General Assembly here. So on one side, he needs to do that. On the other side, I think the Democrats have got to, number one, start helping him out a little bit. He is, after all, their governor, too. He's a governor for all of Illinois, even if they didn't vote for him. And some of them, you know, sat on their hands and didn't really help Pat Quinn all that much. So they're responsible for this. I think that they need to start coming out with some reasonable compromise ideas for things like workers' compensation reform. I know there are some things that they could probably agree to, things that are significant, and they need to get off the dime.
This whole situation, Rich, it seems to be pretty unprecedented, not only in Illinois, but there really aren't too many situations like it around the country. I'm curious, in your time covering politics here in the state of Illinois, what has come the closest to what we're seeing right now?
The Blagojevich years, as far as, and I don't mean to say that the governor is like Rob Blagojevich, okay? I'll get that out of the way.
Sure.
But we had months-long impasses under Blagojevich. This is different, though. One, it's lasted longer. And two, in those days, you know, they were passing temporary budgets. So people were getting paid, and there wasn't the sort of hardship that has been experienced as this year. You have some very stubborn people who are determined to get their way on things. And oftentimes in this business, when you try to win, you lose. There's no real winning in politics. It's about compromising, even if you have one-party government. And we had, which is what we had here in Illinois for numerous years, and it wasn't all smooth sailing under Pat Quinn and Rob Blagojevich. So it's all about compromise. And, you know, the governor, he's a businessman. He's not a politician. He's had to learn some things, and he's still learning some things. He's still refusing to learn some things. And the speaker, you know, I think is just waiting for the governor to implode. But these wins today sort of undermine that as far as the speaker's strategy is concerned. So it would be, you know, it would be nice if they could just set this stuff aside and start focusing on what Governor Edgar called the doable. Some folks have said, doable, oh, that's terrible. Well, you know what? If you don't have doable, then you can't do it, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to throw doable out the window, then nothing will be done. And if you want nothing to be done, then fine. Criticize Jim Edgar and say the doable doesn't work. Well, the doable is the only thing that works. And both sides need to start thinking about that and thinking about what they can actually get done without hurting more people.
You can read more from Rich Miller at his website, capitalfacts.com. He also writes for Crane's Chicago Business and has a syndicated column that runs weekly in newspapers around Illinois. I'm Brian Moline, Illinois Public Media.